Welcome, everyone. Welcome. I'm Scott Pianowski, and welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast presented by Planters, satisfying your snack cravings for over 100 years. You know what satisfied me today, or just this overall week? Fantasy football, points, touchdowns, passing. Russell Wilson's been unleashed. And you mix that with NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, whatever they call this baseball season. We've never had a sporting calendar with more things intersecting. And so that's been satisfying me. And today we're going to try to satisfy you for props, for gambling, for money lines, for DFS. And who better to do that with than with my degen in crime, a longtime friend and colleague, Mr. Dalton Del Don. Aloha.
What's going on, P&L? Excited to talk some week two with you.
Let me ask you the most important question, Dalton. I don't care about your fantasy teams. Did you make any straight cash, homie, in week one?
Win some, lose some. Week one was okay, I would say. Not my best week, but I had a kind of getting a feel for the league. I said entering, I didn't love the slate. I actually be warned. I really like week two. Just so many reflexive dogs. I feel much more confident about this week, which of course means nothing. But looking forward, this is a thinking forward podcast now. But it wasn't the worst week one. I mean, I think I was about 9-7 in the Fantasy Pros against the spread. You look like you put some units on something. You were up there on the leaderboard.
Yeah, I went 11-5 in staff picks. I benefited from a couple of favorable lines because the Titans ultimately wouldn't have been a winner on Monday night. A couple of things. I did make money on week one, mostly because most of my teases won. But this begs the question. I was teasing teams like Baltimore and Buffalo and Pittsburgh, and they would have all won outright. I would have won a lot more money if I had bet them straight or bet them as parlays. So, you know, I guess they call it a tease for a reason, but it is something reassuring about just needing a team to win outright. Are you a tease player? Is that part of your betting?
Yeah, repertoire? I don't know if it is considered sucker or not these days, but if you roll it through the right number. But yes, the answer is I do like teases typically. I did not go week one, but I did have a couple parlays and other picks involving the Lions. You warned me about Patricia there, and that was an ugly fourth quarter. And then, of course, we both, I don't know, I think you also did the best bet, the Bengals. I mean, what an absolutely brutal ending that was. To not, you know, the call on AJ Green and then the shank of Podemus missed field goal. So those were a couple bad beats.
They felt like two of the right sides. Yeah, also, I heard Rufus Peabody, our mutual friend, talking today on the RotoWire show, and he was just talking about how if you would just, this is funny, this is the drum I was beating all year, all summer, continuity. If you just bet the teams with continuity at quarterback or coaching against the team with a quarterback change or a coaching change, I forget what the record would have been, but you would have gone like 5-2 or 6-2 this past week, just betting on continuity against non-continuity. So, you know, sometimes it's Occam's razor. The easiest path can be
one of the right answer. One other thing, Pino, I would point out before we get to these games is, I don't know if you saw, I'm sure you did, but holding was down 78% from last year's week one. I don't know what we make of that, but it seemingly makes the sport more watchable. And that is significant. I mean, 80% fewer offensive holding penalties were called compared to last year's week one. I mean, that is dramatic. I'm for it.
I'm for it, too. I mean, you hear the officials a lot of times talk about playoff calls. You know, the idea that if something's not egregious, just let it go. Of course, we all remember the calls that they do make, like the offensive pass interference on Michael Gallup or the call on AJ Green, which looks like it could have gone either way. Let's get to the week two slate. And the odds we're going to be giving you are from our friends at BetMGM, who is partnered up with Yahoo Sports. And if you want to get in on the action, new users can get a $25 bonus upon registration, no deposit required. You can use it immediately, and you receive a 100% deposit match up to $1,000 with your first deposit. Sign up at betmgm.com/yahoo. Promo valid for new users in New Jersey, West Virginia, Indiana, Colorado. They're 21 years or older. Terms apply. We want you on board. We're going to make you some money in week two. Dalton has guaranteed it. He hasn't said on the podcast yet, but I'm telling you, he's promising a big week. Battle of Ohio. Cincinnati at Cleveland. We talked about Joe Burrow and those Bengals. It sure felt like they were the right side against the Chargers, but they didn't get the win. They're now catching 6 points in the Browns' home opener over under. Pretty tame of 43.5. Dalton, what side do you like here? And any fantasy props or fantasy angles in this game? Let's talk about this game from a side perspective and from a fantasy perspective.
I'll take the 6 points. I'm sticking with the Bengals being underrated with the market. I know it was a kind of a slow start to Burrow's career. Short week divisional game, I expect it to be fairly close. So in fantasy terms, I actually came away with more than a handful of drafts of Mixon and or Nick Chubb and even Burrow. So wasn't the greatest week one. And obviously the whole Chubb versus Kareem Hunt situation, obviously game flow mattered, but it wasn't the greatest week one for there. And the other main thought here is what's up with, Odell Beckham? He's unhappy in Cleveland, and Baker Mayfield, the whole new coaching staff, it looked an awful lot like 2019's version.
You don't want to get ahead of yourself. When you look at that Baltimore-Cleveland game, Baltimore beats the snot out of Cleveland. Yes. And you ask yourself, is it because Baltimore's just great? I mean, they went 14-2 last year. They're probably the co-Super Bowl favorite with Kansas City. So is that Baltimore great or Cleveland being a mess? Sometimes I wonder with Baker Mayfield, he won a Heisman Trophy at Oklahoma, but Lincoln Riley's a great coach. Look at all the receivers they had there. They had CeeDee Lamb, they had Mark Andrews, they had Hollywood Brown. And then after Baker Mayfield left Oklahoma, they won another Heisman Trophy with Kyler Murray. It just makes me wonder that, maybe that's just a system where anybody would look good. Now, granted, Murray, looked fantastic being your 49ers in week one. Until the Browns show it to me, I'm not believing. Granted, the Bengals come off a loss. Burrow had an up-and-down opener. He looked very much a rookie quarterback for most of that day. But I got to grab the 6 points here. I also think Cincinnati on the money line at plus 210 might be interesting. As far as player props go, I know Tyler Boyd didn't have a great week one. I think he was shut out at halftime. But they got him going in the second half. You can bet his receiving yards prop at BetMGM, and I think it's 49.5. I think that's a stone over. I think he's going to have 70 or 80 yards in this game. And he's a player for fantasy purposes. I would, he was one of my most owned players, one of my wallet guys. I'm still a big Tyler Boyd fan. He had a quiet first half, big deal. The Chargers have a pretty good defense anyway. I think it's a good spot for him for fantasy and also as a prop play.
Yeah, Burrow fed the slot in college. Man, that was impressive, him following that block on that TD run that really did save his fantasy day. So even though I do like the points with the Bengals, if I were to give you one prop, give me Nick Chubb over 70.5 rushing yards. I believe Geno Atkins and another injury along Cincy's defensive line will help there. And I think they're going to give him the rock. But expect to be a close game. And should be interesting to see Burrow versus Mayfield.
I'm also curious, Case Keenum's one great season was under Stefanski in Minnesota. I in a very deep league where we draft backup quarterbacks, I have Case Keenum. So I'm kind of hoping. I don't wish Baker Mayfield can still make all the commercials he wants, make all the money off the field he wants. He probably looked great holding the clipboard. I'm kind of holding a torch for Case Keenum. I just
they quietly made him one of the most expensive backups this preseason. You're absolutely right. In my preseason preview, I said there's a non-zero chance that Keenum starts for not because of injury. I'm with you here totally. And that 20 team super league we're in, that's an interesting type stash. Like Jalen Hurts has been the guy I've been stashing in these super flex types, but I like that, man. It's crazy because I got to tell you, I was the guy ranking Baker Mayfield number 3 on my fantasy QBs last year. I was in, but boy, I was wrong.
So let's get to the Sunday slate. The LA Rams, fresh off that victory over Dallas, they go to Philadelphia. I think Carson Wentz was sacked twice since we started this podcast. Mm-hmm. The Rams are favored on the road, 1.5 points right now at BetMGM, and the over-under is 46.5. Sounds like the Eagles are optimistic they'll get Miles Sanders back. Now, unfortunately, they won't get the offensive lineman that they're missing. Can the Eagles get right in this spot, or do you believe the Rams team that we saw on Sunday night against Dallas?
Okay, this is actually one of my favorite bets of the week. I love the Eagles here. Not only did the Rams open -3. You're listening to Inside the NFL. Everyone on the panel is like, how could Aaron Donald not go crazy on this offensive line? Easily the Rams. So that's when you zag, and I feel like it's a get right LA traveling early. Give me the Eagles here for sure. I like this one.
Yeah, I immediately took the Eagles and staff pick. Just a zigzag theory that the Rams aren't as good as they looked in week one. The Eagles aren't as bad as they looked in the second half of that game against the Washington football team. And so it's just, you see, I'm an emotional handicapper. I've done this for, as long as I've been playing this game, that you nobody is as good as they look. The Rams, like people talk about them as an NFC favorite. People talk about the Eagles like they're not going to make the playoffs or even have a winning record or whatever it is. I still think Doug Peterson's a good coach. I'm still a Carson Wentz guy. I like that they're getting creative with the two tight ends. They really need to make Goddard almost like a jumbo receiver now because they've had so many injuries on the outside. So I'm going to trust the coaching staff. We both give the check mark to the Eagles there.
They were up 17-0 last week, and I think Washington deserves a ton of credit, too. That's a real good defensive line. It wasn't just, oh, Eagles are overwhelmed. I mean, I think Washington deserves credit there. And they get Miles Sanders back. They lost Boston Scott in the middle of that game. I mean, I know running backs don't matter, but when you're down to your third string or mid-game, DeSean Jackson played limited snaps. Rieger will be healthier. Rieger. I like the Eagles here in a bounce-back spot for sure.
Yeah, I like what you mentioned about Miles Sanders, too, because I think the whole running backs don't matter thing just went way too far. Of course, running backs matter. The point is, there are a lot of running backs who kind of muddle together, and there are some guys who move the needle. You can't tell me, though, that Boston Scott is as good as Miles Sanders. He just isn't.
Yeah, or Corey Clement, especially running backs that are a big part of the passing game, too.
Great point. Well, Carolina has a running back, a big part of the passing game in Christian McCaffrey, and they played a very fun, entertaining game with the Raiders last week. Unfortunately, they didn't cover, but 34-30. And this week they go at Tampa Bay. Tom Brady looking every bit 43-year-old quarterback. Tampa Bay an 8.5-point favorite. Can they get right against this young Carolina defense that was pushed around last week? The over-under is 47.5.
I took the points here. Still unclear how good Tampa Bay is. Brady joined Blaine Gabbert and Matt Schaub as the only other with three QBs to throw a pick six in three straight games. I didn't think he was that awful, though. He drew a couple long PI penalties. So it still remains to be unclear how that situation is going to be there. But now Chris Godwin suddenly in concussion protocol, that would be a loss. So give me 8.5 points in this divisional game against the Bucs team. It's really unclear how good they are. So I'll take the points.
Now, last week we saw a compromised Mike Evans. And as you said, Godwin's in the concussion protocol. The Buccaneers have been talking. You have to kind of take all Buccaneers talk with a grain of salt because Bruce Arians, you know, if he told me what time it was, I wouldn't expect an honest answer. But they talked up Scotty Miller all summer, and he had a good game. Not a huge game, but he had an active game. I think he had 73 yards in the first game. I'm thinking, I don't have his DFS price in front of me, but if it's $15 or less, I think he's going to be an interesting DFS player, maybe a prop in this game.
Scotty Miller's absolutely going to, yes. Yeah. Brady looked to him. We'll get increased targets without Godwin for sure if that happens. And then, I like DJ Moore on paper here against this run funnel defense. Tampa Bay, I believe they ranked first in DVOA against the run last year. But Carlton Davis is emerging as a shutdown corner on the other side there for Tampa. So maybe DJ Moore isn't, the best DFS start as I originally thought earlier this week.
I think a hidden part of that Saints-Tampa Bay game, people see, New Orleans scored 34 points. Brees averaged 5.3 yards per attempt. I mean, the Saints offense did not look good. You know, Kamara's efficiency was bad in that game. It gets wiped out by the touchdown deodorant, but the Saints offense didn't look good. And I give a lot of that credit to the Tampa Bay defense. I think this defense has always been pretty good, but Winston sold it down the river constantly last year with the pick sixes and the 30 interceptions. And the reason they wanted Brady in the first place was because they thought he'd take care of the ball. And so I think the hidden story with this Tampa Bay defense team is that the defense is better than expected. I'm also going to take the points in Carolina. I was encouraged that Teddy Bridgewater threw the ball downfield last week. He was check down Charlie in New Orleans, but he was playing with his hair on fire last week. And there's a lot of good skill players here. So I'll say that Bridgewater can keep the Panthers within the 8.5. Now, one of the most important reveals, I think, of the week one season was Pittsburgh. What was Roethlisberger going to do? And Ben passed that test at the Giants, 3 touchdown passes, 229 yards passing, and getting a lot of different guys involved. And then we saw changing the guard at running back with Connor got dinged up and Benny Snell had to come in. Now Pittsburgh has their home opener against Denver. Pittsburgh is a 7-point favorite. Pretty low over-under, 41.5, one of the lowest on the slate. I guess it's a nod to how strong Pittsburgh is on defense. Maybe they're going to eat Drew Lock's lunch in this game. How do you feel about the Broncos and the Steelers?
I'll take the points, even though I really do believe the Steelers team is a Super Bowl threat. Short week for both teams remains to be seen if Cortland Sutton returns. The Lindsey injury right away opened it up for Gordon's fantasy managers. I'll take the points here, but honestly, this was not a game that I felt strongly about either way.
Yeah, I can't even remember off the top of my head who I picked in staff picks. I think I took the Broncos, but I'm not positive of that. That just underscores that I wouldn't put a penny on this game. Right. I don't like the Steelers and Broncos off a short week. I think it just puts – I mean, it's fair for competitive reasons, but I just think it puts the game in an unusual situation. Did you believe in what you saw of Snell, by the way? I mean, they talked about Connor like he was a bell cow, like he'd be their guy, and I know he got dinged up, which opened the path for Snell, but do you think this makes Pittsburgh reevaluate what their personnel is going to be like?
I don't know what to make of that situation other than Tomlin supposedly wants one to be the workhorse. So I feel like Connor will get another chance. And I don't know how much it was the ankle deal, but Snell was reportedly much improved this preseason. He did a lot of work in the offseason. So he could absolutely be super valuable if Connor continues to disappoint and or get injured. But right now I'm taking a wait and see approach. I mean, that's one of the tougher situations. But and I got to say, I was one of the people saying, ignoring the injury issues with Connor. But thankfully, in almost all of them, I did back him up with Snell. But yeah, didn't take long for these guys. Marlon Mack, Lindsey, and Connor. Those are the three of the most injury-prone backs, and it immediately all went down.
Let's get to a game where there's going to be some points. Atlanta, probably my favorite carnival in the NFL right now. They played a high-scoring game against Seattle last week. They go at Dallas, Dak Prescott, and all those fun toys. They didn't have a great opener in that loss to the Rams, but you can see the explosive potential. I still think Dallas on paper probably has the best offense in the NFC. Dallas at home in this game, they're spotting 4 points, and we get a juicy 51.5 over under. What do you think about the Falcons and Cowboys?
Yeah, actually, in the staff picks made the Cowboys my best bet, even though I might lean toward Eagles later in the week. But Cowboys, I think they're going to roll. They're going to bounce back here. Yeah, they obviously disappointed week one, but man, the home road splits. It's not just Cooper. Dak Prescott has pretty pronounced ones as well. And this team still is arguably the best offense. I understand the offensive line it could become an issue, but this Atlanta team, I mean, there's always a risk of a backdoor cover and Matt Ryan will throw another empty 450 yards or whatever. But this is one of my favorite fantasy games of the day. It's the first or second highest total of the week. And I'm in on the Cowboys. I think they're going to get right offensively and put up, maybe a 40-burger, 50-burger approach.
You know what I love about the Falcons is that when they get behind late in the game, there are some teams that will run the ball, try to get on the bus, or they'll pull their starting quarterback, pull the regulars. The Falcons treat that garbage time like it's the most important football ever played. They hurry up. They play with a sense of urgency. Now, to be fair to Ryan, I think he had 180 yards at halftime, so he was going to have a big game anyway. But this Falcons garbage time thing, I know it doesn't work. A lot of people will say garbage time is a myth, and maybe it is globally. Maybe it doesn't work everywhere. But when the setup is perfect like this, where you have an experienced quarterback, he's got receivers he's comfortable with, and the offense you doesn't mind playing up-tempo, and the Falcons check all those boxes. I'm not even a Todd Gurley fan. I think that feeds the narrative too. Right now, I wish I had – I don't know why I didn't bet on Matt Ryan to lead the league in pass attempts or passing yards, because it just seems so obvious if he stays healthy that he's going to be right there at the end of the year in those categories.
Yeah, starting even CeeDee Lamb in this game. And Russell Gage, I tried to get after in free agency in leagues in which he was available. I understand that it's not going to get 12 targets every game and Hayden Hurst will be available. But man, it's a narrow tree. The team has to pass, can't run the ball. And what if Julio or Ridley goes down? There's actually upside. You know, everyone always thinks of running backs going down in front of them. But if one of those two went down, Gage would be a monster, especially in PPR format.
Yeah, I'm not a victory lap guy. And God knows I got plenty of things wrong in week one. I faded DeAndre Hopkins all summer. How did that one work out? But I did call on our bold predictions week one. I said Gage would get 100 yards or a touchdown.
Nice.
He averaged five catches a game after they traded Sanu. I did get him in that 20-teamer league that we're in, the 400 pick league that I'm in. I got Gage. It just, you know, he much like Scotty Miller, he has the clear path to the number three receiver spot. And the Falcons, I think, are going to throw the ball more than anybody else. Eventually, Hurst will probably step up his game and his involvement. I don't think Gurley's a good pass catcher anymore. I think it's going to be just those four guys.
Oh, no, he finished literally last in yards per out run among running backs last year, Gurley, by a wide margin, and then had 5 targets for 0 yards, I believe, Sunday. So, he ran far fewer routes, too, than he did last year. So, yeah, it's a situation just set up for those 3-4 guys just get eaten all of the yards and points in Atlanta.
Now, even though I think the Falcons put up a healthy point total in this game, I'm still going to take Dallas and spot the 4, and I think this game will sail over the 51.5 and be certainly a game to attack for DFS. Here's a game I'm really struggling with. San Francisco at the Jets. Okay, we don't know the status of Kittle. San Francisco's still a 7-point favorite. They're coming off the upset loss to Arizona. The Jets really didn't do anything right in the game at Buffalo. And again, the question is that Buffalo being good? Is that Adam Gase and the Jets being bad? So the Niners on the road, cross-country trip, spotting the 7. The total is just 42.5. We don't know Kittle's status. Obviously, Deebo Samuel can't play for a few games. I've struggled for a survivor pick all week, and I've toyed with the 49ers, but I hate taking a team on the road. I hate taking a team that may be without his best player. I think George Kittle's the best non-quarterback player in the NFL right now. That's how much I love this guy. He's either going to be compromised in this game or sit it out entirely. So this makes no sense. Right now I'm leaning towards the Niners as my survivor pick. I had trouble with survivor all week. And yet I picked the Jets and staff picks plus the seven. So I guess that shows how confused this game has me.
I definitely like the Jets here, and I'm a Niners fan. I think they can maybe squeak it out, and I'm not going to like push you off Survivor because it's a tough week in Survivor win, is it not? But I've definitely liked the Jets and the points here. My guy Jimmy Garoppolo, it's quite clear that he needs ideal conditions, and he often has them with the coaching staff. But when in weeks like this, when you're missing your center and guard and top three wide receivers possibly, I mean, Ayuk missed practice again today. Obviously, no Debo, no Jalen Hurd. And Kittle, man, that injury looked bad at the time. I was like, I don't care if they lose this game. If Kittle's not lost for the season, it's a win. And who knows? He's going to miss practice all this week. He still may play. We have a rough start for the Niners. Everyone else in the division won, and all these injuries. Richard Sherman is now out, placed on IR. So as bad as the Jets looked, I mean, they're at home. And I don't know, Crowder will probably catch 15 balls against this banged up defense. So could be ugly, low scoring, but I definitely like the points, man.
When we get to a survivor pick, you'll like let me know. I want to make it clear. One of my biggest long running survivor themes is just don't pick road teams. You know, to pick a home team. And that would have saved you the Eagles last week. That would have spared you from the Colts last week if you just focused on a home team. I think Baltimore was my primary survivor play last week. And that was, you know, I know the divisional games can get a little messy sometimes too, because this familiarity, the team has been to the stadium before and all that. But obviously the Ravens had me relaxed from the opening jump. Right now,
what did you say about Kittle P now? I forgot. You're right. It's not just the receiving. Dude, last year, their yards per carry went 1.5 different with him on and off the field. He's that difference maker of a blocker. That's why PFF graded him as the best player last year. I mean, it's not just like fantasy or whatever. I mean, his blocking is equally as important in real life. So just beware. Even if he plays, he's going to be compromised too. I mean, he hyperextended his knee on a poorly executed play. I mean, jumping up, it was dangerous. He's lucky he wasn't lost for the year. So that's all to say, though. I mean, the Jets looked awfully bad themselves, and their whole entire linebacker core was out and all that too. So don't get me. I mean, I get it. So, but anyway, I would definitely take the points here.
Yeah, I think you have to take the points. Just when a team looks that ugly and the line gets jacked up a little bit, it usually creates a good opportunity. A kind of a similar game with Buffalo and Miami. Buffalo off a really tidy win. Miami, I thought, was very disappointing in their loss to New England. Why did they fire Chad O'Shea? I don't know if it's a behind-the-scenes thing. I thought that offense was really humming in the second half, and yet they brought in Chan Gailey, and it looked like the Dolphins had never met each other on offense. Buffalo was a 5.5-point favorite on the road. Low over-under, it's just 41.5, so they're not expecting a lot of points here. How are you playing the Bills and the Dolphins?
I took the points here, but I don't know. I've been kind of lower on the Bills in the market, and it's been to my detriment. It's funny, yesterday on the pod with Harmon, I said how took a moment to say it's great to see John Brown become so reliable at this stage of his career, and then a couple hours later he's now questionable for this week. But I took the divisional game, the home dog, and the points. Wasn't one of my more favorite games of the week, though. What about you, Pino?
Yeah, I lean Buffalo. I hate spotting points on the road. My whole handicapping theory is to start off predisposed to the underdog anyway, and I only go the favorite if I really feel good about them. But if Buffalo had a quarterback who was a star, if they had, or even just above average, we don't know really how good Josh Allen is. He's a really good athlete. He's a very good runner. We saw last week the good and the bad with Allen. He made a couple of really nice throws. Obviously, he was dynamic as a runner. He missed two wide open guys in the end zone for touchdowns, and he fumbled twice. Even with that, they won the game comfortably. The Dolphins couldn't handle a physical quarterback last week in Cam Newton. I think Allen is probably going to run for like 70 yards in this game. If there's a prop that on Allen's rushing yardage, I would bet over on it. So I lean Buffalo in this game. I'm not sure I would put any money on it. I'm not going to pick them for survivor, a road favorite in a division game that just looks like a survivor disaster. But if I had to make a pick, and of course in staff picks we pick every game, I lean Buffalo. Man, Minnesota, what have they done to that defense? They couldn't do anything right against Green Bay. And then this week they go to an Indianapolis team that all of a sudden is desperate off that shocking loss at Jacksonville. A straight up 3 for the Colts at home. Over under is 48.5. So Phillip Rivers threw 17 passes to his running backs last week. I guess we'll see a lot more of that. Great time to be in on Taylor and Hines probably. But what do you think of the Vikings and Colts?
Both teams hugely disappointing last week. Could be high scoring with all those injuries in Minnie's defense. I took the points here and held my nose. Phillip Rivers, I would switch my pick from them winning the division to Tennessee if I had to do it after one game sample of Phillip Rivers. I would easily make that switch. I'm a Jonathan Taylor guy in many leagues. That was nice to see. Hines is literally in PPR formats. I mean, it's like he's Eckler 2.0. I mean, if he continues to get goal line carries too, really interesting. But he threw Rivers dumped off to his running backs, I believe 38% of the time or something week one. So I will take the points, Minnesota. They're not that bad. I think Kirk Cousins is just fine. Thielen's going to have a big year. But yeah, I held my nose on that one.
Because I'm such a Frank Reich guy, I leaned Indianapolis. This is not a game I think I would bet on. I remember the Reich Rivers pairing in San Diego as being more effective than it really was. You know, they were okay when Reich was the OC there. I don't think Rivers is the ideal quarterback for this team. I do wish I had shares of Paris Campbell. I don't know how I missed that because I wasn't in on T.Y. Hilton. I think it's just a little bit late in the game for him. And Jack Doyle's kind of a catch and fall down guy. And man, Campbell looks, it's just 1 week, but it looks like well, one
Rivers
of the right...
loved the slot. Yeah, he loves feeding Keenan Allen in the slot. So
sure,
yeah, Campbell.
Sure. Yeah, I think Campbell's going to go down as one of the right answers. So I lean the Colts. It's nothing crazy. Well, Detroit off that heartbreaking fourth quarter loss. They're missing all sorts of defensive backs. So it's a great time to go to Green Bay when Aaron Rodgers just played like one of his best games in some time, getting everybody involved. It wasn't just the Adams show. MVS and Lazard also had touchdowns. The Packers are spotting 6 in this game. Over under is 48.5. Not sure yet about Galladay, which is a key, obviously, for that Lions passing game. What do you think about the Lions in the pack?
I will take the points here. Buy low, sell high. The Lions were going into the fourth quarter totally in control of that game. Galladay would be nice to return in Green Bay. I mean, maybe Aaron Rodgers is just that determined this year, whatever. He's going to turn in an MVP type season because, man, they left a lot of yards on the field too. My guy MVS. Remember last week, he actually looked okay despite a million mistakes too. But I will take the points here. I still think the Lions have enough offense to maybe make a backdoor cover here. But obviously the number 3 pick suddenly being active and the coaching problem. So give me the Lions and the points, but don't love it.
Yeah, I lean Green Bay, so I guess I'm running with the pack, but I probably won't put anything on this game. Only because if Detroit's secondary is that beat up, and if Rodgers is in that fine of form, it just looks like a bad fit. And I guess maybe I'm just emotionally scarred because I so rarely wanted to bet on anything related to Matt Patricia, but I did have the Lions last week. It was one of my 5 throwing darts. Felt like a win. Look, Patricia's not on the field. It's like you can't blame everything on the coach. I mean, the players have to execute. And, of course, if Swift catches that pass, Detroit would have won anyway. But I don't know. I just worried about the secondary. They're missing multiple cornerbacks, and I think it's the wrong time to get Aaron Rodgers. So I'll lean. This may be a game I tease with Green Bay. You're obviously getting a team favorite in that 6 to 8 point range is often a good target for a tease. You get around some of those key numbers. But I'm not crazy about the side straight up. This is a game. This next game is a game I do like. The Giants are at Chicago. Chicago's a 5.5 point favorite. Another game with a fairly low over under. It's 41.5. Allen Robinson had a pretty good game week one, but he's not happy with the Bears with his contract. He has wiped everything clean of the Chicago Bears on his Twitter account. Have you ever done that, Dalton? You ever been so mad at Chris Liss or something that you just wiped out your Twitter account?
Well, I think my Twitter account says lover of Larry David, Radiohead, and Jimmy G, and I strongly considered it after the poor Super
Jimmy
Bowl performance. Yeah, exactly. But no, I let it.
Larry David's
me,
okay though. You're not down on Tom York or anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I got drinking a latte Larry's coffee mug right now.
Well, I saw you with a Nirvana shirt. I wasn't sure if you had traded, Radiohead for Nirvana in a second round pick or something like that.
No, of course not. No. Anyone that missed our Radiohead draft on the baseball pod, definitely.
Yeah, please check that out. Maybe we'll do a Nirvana draft one of these. Yeah. What I think would be Nirvana would be to take the Giants and the points. I think the Bears are getting too much credit for a game where they play lousy for 45 minutes. Trubisky did play well at the end, but I think the defense isn't as good as it used to be. I don't trust Trubisky at all. And I actually thought Daniel Jones held in pretty well. I know he made that really bad pick at the goal line. You can't have that. But Pittsburgh might have the best defense in football. I think the Giants were more competitive than that. I know they stuffed Barkley, but I like that the Giants were willing to use Barkley as a receiver, split him out, get him the ball in space. I think the Giants are still going to be a competitive team, and I don't think the Bears should be spotting 5.5 to anybody. So give me the G-men.
I'm with you. I'm on a lot of dogs this week. I will take the points. It's a short travel week coming off Monday, but they're facing a really good Steelers team. Hopefully Danny Dimes doesn't fumble it a couple times here in Chicago, but I think they're plenty capable and obviously Trubisky issue there. Yeah, this is a close game. There's no way you'd want to use Chicago in Survivor here, so you definitely take the 5.5 points for sure with you.
Okay, so everything's coming up Titans in the AFC South. They got their win, although Steven Gostkowski sure tried to lose that game, but he finally made the short kick. They got out of Denver with a win. And what else happened in the division? Jacksonville beat the Colts, probably good for Tennessee. And Houston looked terrible against Kansas City. Give the Chiefs a lot of credit for that. So now Jacksonville's at Tennessee. Tennessee, an 8-point favorite. Over-under is just 41.5. And some people might say, well, hey, isn't this obvious? Tennessee, big favorite at home. I just get nervous with that late game, not just the Monday game, but a late game at altitude. You know, maybe they come in a little bit fat and sassy after that game and underestimated Jacksonville team that was pretty frisky in that win over the Colts. Obviously, Minshew, 19 of 20. He wasn't throwing the ball much downfield, but he completed it to 10 different passes, pass receivers, which shows you his maturity. I don't know. I guess this looks like the obvious survivor play, but it makes me nervous. Granted, I was nervous earlier about San Francisco. I still haven't really landed on anything I like. Do you like Tennessee in this game, whether it be straight up or as a survivor pick?
All right, so I am leaning Tennessee for my survivor pick. I would have liked it more had they lost, actually, that Monday night. But Jacksonville winning, I do kind of like that. But they don't have a functioning kicker. And now A.J. Brown missed practice, so check on that. It might just be a rest day. So I'm taking the points. So I'm with you. My survivor pick, I'm taking the points on the other side. So I don't not feel that strongly about it. And this one may be subject to change, but I do believe in Tennessee. And they obviously dominated that game, all those missed field goals and the red zone. It's funny. They went from super efficient to lack thereof. But Derrick Henry's in for a monster season if he's going to see a handful of targets too. So I'm leaning Tennessee and survivor. But yeah, I'm with you, Jacksonville. What a Minshew, the first QB week one to do 95% completion percentage, 3 TDs. Yeah, impressive. James Robinson, if you saw that hurdle, man, I'm in on James Robinson.
So
I know it's not the greatest situation, but who cares? I'd rather be he's a feature back there. So I'm very much in on James Robinson.
Yeah. Also, I love the fact that Leonard Fournette indirectly bashed Minshew on the way out. He said Tom Brady was the first real quarterback he'd ever played with. Well, yeah. Minshew was 19 to 20, Leonard Fournette, while you were 5 carries, 5 yards. So, you know, the Jaguars are getting the last. I don't think anybody in Jacksonville is like, wow, if only we still had Leonard Fournette. I'm with you on Robinson. Yeah. I'd like to see the Titans make more of an effort to get A.J. Brown the ball. He needs 8 to 10 targets every week. I don't care. Even when he's covered, he's open. Obviously, Tannehill missed him on that fade pattern late in that Denver game. But they need this is a team that still wants to throw the ball, probably fewer than any team in the league. They have the great offensive line. They have Henry, and that's fine. They have a really good defense, too, and I like the way they're coached. But they need Arthur Smith. I'm a believer in you, offense coordinator, but A.J. Brown needs to get more involved in this offense, and I hope they can figure that out. So let's get to the late slate. And, the best nickname in football, the Washington football team. Why not just go WFT, man? That's
I like that.
They had a stupid nickname for years. It was insensitive. Nobody liked it except for Daniel Snyder. Let's go Washington football team. Fresh off their upset win of the Eagles, they had the Arizona. They had an upset win themselves, taking down your Niners. The Cardinals are 6.5-point favorites in this game. Over under of 46.5. What struck me in the Arizona game last week is that Kyler Murray ran for, I think, 93 yards, something like that. He lost some yardage on kneel downs late in the game. And afterwards, Kyle Shanahan said, I thought we did a good job on Kyler Murray. That's how, and I'm not bagging on Shanahan here, that's how unbelievable Kyler Murray can be at times, that he controls the game like he did last week. And Shanahan's like, yeah, I thought we actually contained him pretty well.
Yeah, except that his YPA was modest or whatever, but man, he was tough to defend, and he was drawing all kinds of penalties, like 3 or 4 that he would slide and then draw an extra 15 yards, and man, that was truly valuable. But he looks like he's going to be a problem with the NFL this year. Hopkins, what a rapport immediately. But having said that, I like Washington a decent amount in this game and the points. Arizona definitely was impressive, no doubt. They played the Niners 3 straight games tough. But I'm a believer in this Washington's improved defensive line. Logan Thomas, I'm in on. McLaurin's going to have some bigger games. And I don't know about the running back situation for fantasy managers, but Haskins is going to show improvement this year. So I think this is a live dog on the road here. And I think that defensive line is the real deal. So I like the points here. It's probably one of my 3 or 4 favorites of the week.
Yeah, I have to take the WFT points. And by the way, if you like them for a straight up upset, you can get them at +240 on BetMGM Moneyline. If you like Arizona to win straight up, it's -295. I'm not going to list all the money lines, but of course, if that's the way you like to play, that's all available to you with our friends at BetMGM. I also think Ron Rivera was the right guy at the right time. You know, Washington made a couple of really smart hires. I really like the GM they hired, and I really think Ron Rivera was a good hire as head coach as well. So Baltimore Ravens right now, one of the probably two best teams in football along with Kansas City. They beat the snot out of Cleveland, as I mentioned earlier. Now they go to Houston. Nobody likes Bill O'Brien, and they didn't play very well against, of course, strong Kansas City team. But Houston's getting 7. It sounds like a bloated line to me. Over-under is 46.5. As much as I love the Ravens, I could only take the points in this game. What say you?
It's funny. Yeah, I'm taking most of the dogs here, but I laid the points here. I'm going to do the same with the Chiefs coming up. I think these two teams are just so much better than the rest of the pack right now. And Houston fading, I guess they do have the extra preparation, but I laid the points here, but obviously I don't feel super confident. 7-point
laid
road,
the points, you know, 7 on the road. Okay. I'm just, Texans are so weird because it's like, oh, I don't trust Bill O'Brien. And, oh, you know, Fuller gets hurt a lot. And Brandon Cooks has a concussion history, but then Watson's such a special player. And the defense, I think, has been overrated for a while, but they do have a couple of key guys. Obviously, Watt can always make a play. I don't know. Maybe Baltimore just, you know, comes in a little emotionally flat after that really big win over their natural rival. The Browns and Ravens have a natural rivalry because, you know, the Ravens did steal the Browns franchise. Maybe it's more of a game for Cleveland than it is for Baltimore. But, of course, betting against Lamar Jackson is terrifying. And if I do actually do that on Sunday, I'm sure I'll be terrified in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, he looks so, so good. They might even get better. He's throwing the ball down the field. I mean, man, it just looks it looks unstoppable right now.
Not only do I think Mark Andrews could finish as the tight end one, if you said I could have any tight end right now, I would take Mark with a dinged up Kittle. I would take Mark Andrews.
Totally agree with you. Yes, Mark Andrews would be my number one rated fantasy tight end for the rest of the season, for sure.
Agreed. So you teased it earlier. The Chiefs, man, did they look good. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who I know you were especially high on, he was your number 4 overall player before the season. He looked great. I know he didn't get the goal line touchdown. I know he didn't catch any passes, but he looked terrific in that opener. And now that flying Kansas City team goes to Los Angeles. This is the Chargers' first chance at the new stadium, and they're catching 8.5 points in this game. The total is 47.5. You're laying a big number on the road again?
Yeah, first of all, it's just so funny that Edwards-Helaire had 0 catches, but like 6 goal line carries. And then Jonathan Taylor had the most receiving yards of all rookies, but gets removed at the goal line. The Chiefs offense just looks so, so good. Mike Williams was super impressive, I thought, and he can make some noise here. But the Chiefs quietly have defended opposing wide receivers pretty well, at least last year. I'm laying the wood here. I know it's a sucker play to lay that many points on the road, but I feel like the Chiefs, maybe even the Ravens, but I feel like the Chiefs, I can just blindly lay the points until the market catches up. I think they're really, really good, and people aren't realizing that for the second half of last year, Mahomes was playing with a dislocated knee because that September last year in his rookie year, I don't know, man, they look unstoppable to me, so I'm laying the wood.
And the work that Spagnuolo has done with the defense, Steve Spagnuolo, the coordinator, yes. I think that can't be overlooked either. I just ultimately decided it's too many points. You have to pay a tax to bet Kansas City. A team at home getting 8.5 that isn't a bad team, because I don't think the Chargers are a bad team. I just reflexively have to lean that way for staff picks, for Frank Schwab's, you know, pick and pull, which, of course, you can run on Yahoo, stuff like that. I'm not going to bet on this game, but I don't like spotting 8.5 points on the road. So I just reflexively lean towards a dog in that spot. Sunday night, it's a good one. New England, Belichick, Cam Newton. They go to Seattle, a rematch of their famous Super Bowl, a rematch of many Newton and Wilson games that we've seen in the past. And look, it looked like Seattle finally going to let Russ cook. In fact, the Falcons admitted they came into that game saying they were going to stop the run. They were kind of flat-footed in that game. They didn't think Seattle would be proactive throwing the ball in the first half. And again, a running back, we don't think of catching the ball. And Chris Carson, he was 2 touchdown catches in that game. It's funny how a lot of surprise receivers at running back seem to emerge in week one. We'll see if that's a trend or if it's actually something that sticks around for a while. Seattle's a 4-point favorite in this game. The over-under is 44.5. What do you make of Belichick and Carroll and this matchup Sunday night?
What I make of it is I'm going to start my weekly rap column during the afternoon games, which is only just 3, by the way. What are these breakups of 9 games and 3? Can't even get the 8 games into the game mix either in the morning either. But yeah, this is a Sunday nighter that I want to watch if it looks like a ho-hum afternoon slate. I laid the points. If they really are going to let Russell Wilson throw more on first downs than any other team like they did week one, it's a problem for the rest of the league. And I'd like to see Cam Newton do that, you know, otherwise than at home against Miami. At Seattle, though, you know, that defensive line isn't great. So could be fascinating if they really do scheme Newton that successfully week in and week out. But for now, I'm leaning towards Seattle and laying the points.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Seattle, too. I thought New England beat Miami with a button-down offense, a lot of Cam Newton. They only threw 19 passes. Most of them weren't downfield. Now, granted, it's hard. No team is really equipped to handle a running quarterback, especially a physical quarterback like Cam. We'll see if they can get away with playing that way all season, because you really don't want your quarterback getting hit that much. But it's also a double-edged sword, because the league doesn't let you lay the lumber on a quarterback either. So it's, you know, I think New England, to win this game, is going to have to throw the ball downfield. And I'd like to see if Cam can do it. The Patriots still have great personnel at secondary, but their front seven, all the linebacker losses, I think Seattle can exploit that. So I'm going to take the home Seahawks on Sunday night. Now, Monday night, Las Vegas Raiders. I haven't called them Oakland, I don't think, all season. That's eventually going to change. But they're at home, another home dog. Talk about a slate of all these home dogs. The Saints, I didn't think they looked great in that win over Tampa Bay, but they did win. They did cover, and now they go to Vegas. Saints are a 5.5-point favorite. Over-under is 50.5. Michael Thomas, high ankle sprain. Sounds like a multiple-week absence for him. As bad as New Orleans' offense looked last week, not that the Raiders have anything special on defense, but I can't spot this number on the road.
Totally with you. I like the I think I got the Raiders wrong. They're going to be better than expected. And the opposite could be said about New Orleans. You know, I thought Drew Brees was going to be fine, and he had the pretty solid second half. But if you narrow that second half down to the final month, and it was just all dink and dunk last week. He's 41 years old. The decline may be sudden there. I know they won and put up the points, but he was not attacking downfield at all. And now Michael Thomas is going to miss this game. So they better hope Traquan Smith's ready. And there were some positive reports this summer, but I'm with you here. Josh Jacobs looks awesome. And the Raiders at home, for sure. I like the home dog here.
Now let's get to what everybody wants. The Dalton Del Don DFS lock of the week. I talked earlier about Scotty Miller. I want to mention, by the way, our producer Raghu actually put Miller's name in the outline. I didn't read to the bottom of the outline before we started, which probably says something about me. But Scotty Miller, I just looked it up, $13 on DFS. Even if everybody plays for Tampa Bay, I love Miller against Carolina. And if you have Godwin out, it just means that Miller could maybe get the double-digit targets. So I think Miller at $13 is really intriguing this week. Dalton, who's a DFS must-start for you in week two?
Well, I'll give you a couple. Amari Cooper at $22, just these massive home road splits. I'm treating him as a borderline top five guy. He's not priced that way. And I think it's going to be a shootout. It's the highest, one of the highest over-unders against Atlanta. And he was targeted relentlessly, even coming off that hamstring injury. And then in that same game, Russell Gage, the aforementioned Russell Gage, just 13 in the Yahoo DFS and coming off 12 targets. Atlanta figures to be playing from behind a lot. So if you're looking for a bargain bin, 13. And then I'd be remiss if I didn't say Jonathan Taylor at 19 with Marlon Mack popping his tire, getting all those targets and presumably more of the goal line work than Hines. I love Jonathan Taylor at home against, you know, a suddenly vulnerable Minnesota defense for less than $20.
I think you could also punch Nyheim Hines at $14. Absolutely. I think his price hasn't caught up yet. And they talked about him as an 80-catch guy before the season when they had three running backs. Now they have two. I mean, it used to be a decade ago in fantasy, we hated any running back by committee. We wanted bell cows. And now there just aren't that many of them anymore. When you can reduce a running situation to two running backs, that's such a huge advantage. And if they go 70-30 or 65-35 or 60-40, there's going to be plenty for both of these guys. And they're running behind maybe the league's best offensive line. So I think Taylor and Hines are both in a good spot.
And how much evidence do we need from what Rivers is just doing at the Chargers the last couple of years? I mean, it's so clear where this is going. I mean, it is just dump off after dump off after dump off.
Right. And I mentioned this on the Monday podcast we do with Andy Behrens, where we do pickups. The great thing about throwing the dump off to running backs, I'm not talking about wheel routes or, you know, the downfield routes. When you just throw up a dump off to a running back, is the defense will let you have it. The defense is complicit in this. They're like, yeah, you want to throw a 4-yard pass to Nyheim Hines? We don't care. So it's, and Rivers is like, oh, I'll take it. And the defense is like, we'll give it to you. So that's, I don't think teams like say, oh, we're going to stop that. Nyheim Hines is killing us with these 4-yard catches. They're going to let that happen all day. So I think that's a very bankable, repeatable thing. Let's talk about players to fade. Again, I'll give props to our producer, Raghu, who mentioned George Kittle. $25. That sounds really pricey for a guy on the road with an ankle. Just doesn't sound like Kittle's going to be headed towards a big game. And the Jets, I still think, have a decent defense. They don't have Jamal Adams anymore. And Seattle, we saw Seattle couldn't stop tight ends last year. They get Adams and they shut down the tight end with Hurst pretty well last week. But I think Kittle is a smart fade. That's our producer, Raghu's pick. Dalton, who are you staying away from in DFS this week.
I do totally agree with Kittle because he's not going to be 100%, even a best case scenario if he's playing. I know I mentioned him earlier, but I want to say DJ Moore because it's going to look like it's a great matchup. But Carlton Davis, if he shadows him, it's going to be the opposite of a great matchup. So I would caution DJ Moore.
You know, I'm a little bit nervous about Deontay Johnson, $16. I know he had the 10 targets Monday night, but Schuster had 2 touchdowns. Washington had a touchdown. And Chase Claypool, he only touched the ball 3 times, but they were all effective touches. I think Claypool's good enough that he's going to be a factor right away. And maybe that doesn't get in Juju's way. I still think Johnson's a good player, but the idea that he was going to be a breakout, you know, he may be the best receiver in this class. I know he led the rookie class in catches last year. I think Johnson might have been just the eyelash overrated in the draft season, in part because I think Claypool, not that Claypool's good enough for fantasy right away, but I think he's good enough to like maybe get 550 or 600 yards as a rookie. And that's going to get in the way of, it's just going to make that more of a crowded usage tree. And maybe Johnson's the guy who struggles if that's the case.
It's also hard to have multiple strong fantasy receivers if you have the league's best defense. You know, that usually doesn't help as far as the passing. But they've threw the ball a lot in the past with Roethlisberger. But I hope you're wrong about Deontay Johnson because I have a few of him.
I have a ton. I have a ton of Deontay Johnson. And I have a lot of Roethlisberger, too. One other fade I'll go with is Cam Newton at $29. I know we love running quarterbacks, but Seattle will make him beat them through the air. And I just don't know that he has rapport with anybody yet. I know he had a good completion percentage, but you know, the longest pass play was kind of a gimmick play to a lesser tight end. That's not going to be there most weeks. N'Keal Harry, you know, had the goal line pylon fumble. I wonder if Belichick will lean on Harry this week, maybe give him less snaps because we know Belichick hates that pylon play. I want to see it with Cam Newton's arm. I know he's a great runner, but this is a league of great runners. You want a great running quarterback, you can go so many other places. You don't have to go to Newton. I think $29 is a trap for him this week.
Yeah, $2 more, Matt Ryan. I like that situation far greater. And I'm with you on Cam Newton. He's such a dominant goal line runner, and that could just pay the bills in fantasy. But yeah, let's actually see him throw the ball downfield when some defenses are scheming to face him. But I'm rooting for him. I hope he is, but I'm with you. I'd be skeptical. You know, Seattle, see, they do get the benefit of no home crowd. You know, typically night games in Seattle were just so ridiculously difficult to play in, but at least you won't have to deal with that.
One other thing I just want to mention that you can bet at BetMGM.com is the Trevor Lawrence tank ranking. Okay, the team that's going to have the number one draft pick, which sure looks like Trevor Lawrence. Although if the Big Ten's really going to play football, who knows? I mean, maybe I thought Lawrence was like a lock to be the number one pick because with so many players not playing this year, there just won't be that much change in the opinions of different guys. But I don't know, maybe that can change. Jacksonville's still a plus 550 favorite, even with a win. I'm surprised that Washington's plus 600. I think they're going to win like 6 or 7 games. The Bengals, the Panthers, the Dolphins are also 550, 550, and 700 respectively. If you had to bet right now on the team on the clock, the Trevor Lawrence tank team, who would you go with?
People love Justin Fields as well. First of all, I agree with you. The Washington, that's just disrespectful, man. I think they are going to be a decent team. And what about my Lions, my long shot? That's bad when you're already showing up on the team with most losses there when I had them as making the playoffs. Give me the Jets plus 900. And I even kind of like Sam Darnold too, but that coaching situation, that one seems obvious to me. I like Jets plus 900 for sure there.
Yeah. Also, I want you to bet on whoever replaces Adam Gase next year. I want you to bet on him as coach of the year because they're so misrun. I still think Darnold can be a good player. I like a lot of the defensive pieces. And then if a competent coach comes in next year and they go 10-6, people might make it out to be like he's a great coach. When really, I mean, we've seen so much in history getting away from Adam Gase. That's what I want to do. I want to like make an arrangement with Adam Gase. I want to work with Adam Gase and then get away from him and see if it will like maybe spark my career. Maybe all this glory and money and fame will come to me. So that's the secret of life. I think the Jets at plus 900 is a great way to play the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. So Dalton, Del Don, tell us what you're working on this week. Give us a plug for all your fine work.
Yeah, I got a sit start coming out Friday mornings. And just follow me on Twitter at Dalton Del Don. And yeah, good talking some week 2 with you, P&L. Good stuff.
Good stuff indeed. I am also on Twitter, Scott_Pianowski, the real Scott Pianowski, as it were, not the fake P&L. And if you like podcasts, if you enjoyed this show today, man, we got a bunch of them. The Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast comes at you 5 times a week. The gambling handicapping degenerate edition is taped on Wednesday, released on Thursday. The next edition you hear will be Liz and Andy breaking down the week two slate. We have a day where Matt and Dalton do props. We have a pickup stay. We have a reaction stay. You know, this is different flavors, different hosts every day. So you'll listen to the one you like or listen to all five and get to be the smartest person in your league. Of course, the Yahoo Fantasy Baseball Podcast still trucking along, trying to get you to a championship as the season winds down in September. The Yahoo Sports NFL Podcast with Charles Robinson, Therese Paylor is a great show. And as Andy often says, it's kind of secretly a fantasy show too. They do talk a lot of fantasy on that show. And the Yahoo Sports College Podcast, Big Ten football is going to happen. Your old friends Wetzel, Famel, and Pat Forty, our old friend from Yahoo, now at Sports Illustrated. They have great chemistry on that show. So a lot of podcasts to download, to rate, review. Got a car ride ahead of you. Need to clear out the cobwebs. You're going to ride the treadmill for an hour. Pop one of these shows in and let us keep you company. You can follow Yahoo Fantasy on Twitter at Yahoo Fantasy. Of course, I'm Scott_Pianowski, Dalton Del Don on Twitter. Thanks again to Planners. Go buy some mixed nuts. Go buy some cashews, salted snacks. You can't beat them. Andy and Liz tomorrow, previewing week two. That's it, D-Gens. We're out.
It's no secret that our world has been interrupted. A World Interrupted is a daily podcast telling stories of coronavirus and its impact on the economy. We want to cover the issues in the macro, global economics, the stock market, and our political climate. We'll also cover the micro stories, maybe the ones you don't hear as much about in the news or the media. We hope you'll listen and be a part of the journey. So subscribe today on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts.